As we stand together, we pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, our Lord and King, grant that the peoples of the earth, now divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under the gentle and loving rule who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. It's an amazing, breathtaking conversation. I wonder if Pilate or Jesus knew that there were others lurking in the shadows, listening to the conversation. Jesus is brought before Pilate. His own community has betrayed him. And Pilate's in the middle of an election. He has tremendous power. He walks with power. He talks with power. The words that come out of his mouth are truth in his own mind. And if he messes this up, he is going to get early retirement. He's in charge, in control, unless they say he ain't. What a pain in the neck that they would send this guy, and now Pilate's got to stand and deliver the biggest lie of his life. I actually feel really sorry for him. He's trapped in control. And the only way to maintain control is to say what they want him to say, to do what they want him to do, to stand and deliver the lie of a lifetime that gives him a reputation for eternity as the one who sold out the Christ. And Jesus arrives, approaches Pilate, and they have this conversation. Pilate hoped that Jesus was scared, that he'd slip up. You see, in criminal law, sometimes all they need is you to say the wrong thing at the wrong time for the wrong reason, and you're done. "Are you the king of the Jews?" says Pilate. Jesus responds, "You say that I am." "Try again." "Are you a king? Do you say that I'm a king?" Now this guy's a pain because he won't slip up. He can't slip up. It's his truth. It's his integrity. He is the king, but not of this world, but of all eternity. And Jesus could have been really nasty. He had really good reason. Have you ever been in a situation and you're in a conversation with somebody and you know they're wrong and you know you've got evidence they're wrong and this is your moment to take them out? And then it clicks. Christians don't do that. Been there? Jesus was there. And so he gives him a chance. He says, "Let me speak truth. Those who know me and hear my voice follow me." And Pilate can't cope. Ever been there? And he says, "What is the truth?" And he hands him back to be flogged and to be crucified, washing his hands of the whole affair and believing that's the last time anyone in the whole world will ever hear about it. You know, sometimes it's those moments that define us. The moments we assume no one will ever know anything about it. Those are the moments. And even then, Jesus extends grace and mercy and clemency, trying to explain to Pilate truth, trying to explain the concept of belonging and being part of things, trying to explain that Jesus is the King of the universe and his throne would be thorns and his robe would be an old, stinky piece of purple material, and that his throne would be the cross. Jesus, how much do you love us? How much do you love us? And he stretched out his arms and died on the cross. I love you this much. People's perceptions of us and how we speak our truth, how we live our truth as members of God's family is all important. So let me tell you a story, which I should probably tell you before you hear about it from somebody else. I was in the police station this week, being photographed and fingerprinted. That's the truth. That's the truth. Now wait, because most of you have done the next jump. You should breathe. But I got to tell you, it was a full room. And I've watched the old movies. I know how this goes. You go in and some huge police officer says, "Listen, kid, put your thumb there." And they put it in the ink. And they put it on the piece of paper. And then he start photographing you. By the way, that's not how it works anymore. Just in case you're still listening. Oh, I'm pretty sure you're still listening. This beautiful, brilliant young woman walks out of the office and says, "Mr. Hendry, would you be so kind as to step into the room?" Inside, I'm thinking, not a chance in God's green earth. My wife said to me, "You got to do this." I walk in, and this lovely lady says, "Could you just smile at me?" And as I smiled, she took my photograph. And then she said, "I need you to come over to this computer, and we're going to fingerprint every one in the computer, and it just takes a couple minutes." And I said, "Am I here because there's a problem?" She said, "Yes, you're applying for clearance to work with children and youth for the scouting movement. And there is another Stephen James Hendry, born February 1965, who has a criminal record, and we'd like to make sure it's not you." Great. That's just great. I said, "You know, this happened to me before." She said, "Yes, we have record of that." She said, "You were on your way to the United States of America, and Stephen James Hendry, February 2nd, 1965, you were removed from your vehicle by force, and it was our understanding that you had a very unpleasant experience." I said, "Yeah, why do all your guys at the border carry automatic weapons?" She said, "It's most unfortunate for you that there is a Stephen James Hendry, February 1965, who is in Detroit, who was wanted for murder that day." I said, "How did I get clearance?" She said, "He's an African American and you're not." I said, "It's the first time in my life that white's been okay." She said, "This will just take a moment. Go back into the lobby and wait." So I get back into the lobby, and you know every set of eyes is on me. I mean, I wasn't so stupid as to wear my uniform. But every eyes are on you because you've been in the printing room. You can imagine for every person in the lobby, they had their truth already decided about me. Right? So she comes out, and she straightens her sweater, And she looks at me and she said, "You can go home now." And I didn't even dare look at the group. I just turned to Joyce and I said, "We're leaving." I mean, I couldn't even speak. We're out of here. So I took my police clearance for the scouts, and I was so very proud that I had it. No, okay, so I was terrified, and I was relieved to get the heck out of there. And I got into the car, and this morning I received an information from the Scouts Canada that they don't have my form yet because of a postal strike. Want me to tell you the truth about how I'm feeling? Here's my point, and I need to drive this home. Jesus said the most important thing we have is our truth. What we really believe. It's so hard to speak our truth in the classroom. So many rules. To speak our truth in the courtroom. To speak our truth in business. It's so hard to speak our truth because we wonder if we speak our truth, will we still have a job? Mortgage, car payments, kids' tuition, survival. So many people decide to go with the flow because if they spoke their truth of who they really are, what they really believe in, what their morals, ethics, and values are, if they spoke that truth, if they lived that truth, everything would be at risk. Let me invite you to find a small group of people where you can speak your truth. From personal experience, I do not recommend that you speak your truth with that small group of people without knowing who's sitting behind you in the restaurant. I'll let that settle in for a minute. Because if you don't know, you might get called out. I got called out for speaking truth. Find a place that's safe. Find people that are safe for you, but speak the truth. Here's the other issue in the gospel today. We are family. So here's the question. I want you to imagine for a moment that in the month of December, you are driving and you're spending time with friends or relatives. It's late at night. You probably should have gone home earlier, but you didn't. You stayed a little longer to enjoy that precious time with other people. And you're on your way home and you're on the 401, and you've never been on the 401. You ignore the 401. You'll do anything to get off the 401, and suddenly your tire blows. And you look at your watch, and it's 2 o'clock a.m. If you belong, if this is family, you should have no shortage of people you can pick up the phone and say, "I'm in trouble. Come and get me." We belong to each other. Jesus said, "Those who know me hear my voice." He's talking about belonging. And it doesn't matter if people from this church or no church, in this place, we accept everyone the way they are and invite them to grow, and we depend on each other for good times and in bad. Let me tell you this truth about this morning in this place. A third of this congregation are in the middle of something that nobody else knows about. And soon, we'll need each other. And we'll need to be able to step up, even if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and we need to go to the 401 for one of each other. Let me go deep and go serious. Maybe it's not the 401, maybe it's the police station. Who do you call? The answer should be the same. Everyone and anyone in this room for help. Jesus spoke about belonging. Do you remember as a little kid, did you ever have one of those moments that you weren't impressed with the rules of your house? And you went to your room and you packed your suitcase with everything you needed. Can you imagine my suitcase? Chocolate bars, potato chips, pizza. Any other guesses?
Teddy bears.
Teddy bears. Thank you. Big one. Some clothes. And I arrived downstairs, and I remember this moment, and I said, Marnie and Colin? My parents' first names. Marnie and Colin, I'm leaving. And my father said, finally. My mother didn't look at me. Clearly, Dad was in charge of this conversation. And he said, can I drive you to the corner? I'll walk. I'm tired of the rules. I don't like listening to the people around me. I disagree with everything that's happening here. I'm running away from the family. And he said, oh, we got it the first time. We're fine. I'll open the door. Don't let it hit your little self on the way out. I got about a half a block away and discovered two things. First of all, if you're going to get a suitcase, you need one where the handle's not broken. And the second thing is, they didn't care. At least that's what I thought. I found out years later that my mom sobbed for an hour. My dad said, are you kidding? He'll be hungry. He'll be back in an hour and a half. No longer than that. And he was wrong. I was back in 40 minutes. Have you ever wanted to quit, run away? Were you a kid or were you an adult? I'm out of here. I don't like how this is going. Here's the truth. Most of us have been there. And this is what we figured out. The grass is not always greener on the other side. Remember that? We are part of Jesus' family. We do not have to agree with each other. We do not always have to be on the same page. We do not always have to believe what our neighbor believes. The one thing we need to believe is that Jesus is Lord and Savior and King of the universe. That's it. That's all. Everything else is up for discussion. But staying together, that's essential. And Jesus tried to explain to Pilate that those who knew him heard his voice. They were part of the family. And no matter what happens, no matter what trouble we get in, no matter what situation occurs for us, we are part of the family, and the family pulls together in crisis. We don't run away if we disagree. We stay at the table to talk about the differences. And most importantly of all, we're there when somebody's hurting, when they need us the most. You see, the gospel today was not Jesus on trial, it was Pilate on trial. And he had a bad day. Happens. When Jesus made his way for the flogging, and then for the end of his life, he left us with the story of the last person he spoke to. And the last person he spoke to, he extended love and grace, forgiveness and mercy for the taking. Jesus may well be the last voice every one of us hears. And he will continue to extend that love and grace and mercy. For today we celebrate the King, whose crown was thorns, whose robe were leftover material, and whose throne was the cross. The messenger of mercy and grace that brings love to our lives every day. Amen.